31 minutes after the hour 4 here on Radio Veritas, the good news for a change. Now we have Mike Pothier from the Catholic Parliamentary Liaison Office in Cape Town. Welcome to Radio Veritas, Mike. How are you?
I'm very well, Tabo. How are you?
I'm trying my best. You know, I was just talking to Father Russell earlier on about the postponement of the State of the Nation address, and I asked him a question as to whether is this the end of the man with nine lives like a cat? Should he already start popping the champagne or keep them on ice?
It's difficult to say because in one sense, it is a victory for Mr. Zuma because it means Cyril Ramaphosa does not get to give the speech on Thursday, as many people were hoping that he would. So Zuma has at least delayed something. But I suppose, on the other hand, you can think of it as a defeat for Zuma also, because he was wanting to give the speech on Thursday. I'm afraid that the biggest losers in all of this are us as the country, because once again we are finding disruption and instability and uncertainty where we should be having more solid leadership.
And I mean, if you begin to look at that, I mean, the instability in the country and uncertainty in the country, it affects then a lot of things. Does it then affect the budget, the forthcoming budget? Is it affected by this, or will it still go ahead without the SONA having been delivered? Because we know that the SONA, obviously, is the president outlining the program of action for the country in the current administration. And it would have been wrong for Zuma, of course, to give that State of the Nation address on a program that he himself would not be running.
Yeah, to an extent that's the case. Of course, one answer to that is that the program of the government is determined by the majority party, the governing party, which is the ANC, and not by the president alone. So, for example, if a president, let's not make it personal, but if a president happens to die in office, then the program of government continues because it is developed by the party. And that means that Zuma or Ramaphosa or anybody else really could give the speech and still set out the program. As for the budget, that speech is on the 21st of this month, I think. So there is still time. They can still open parliament and have the necessary, take the necessary constitutional steps to see that parliament is in fact in session before the 21st of February.
Then what happens after tonight? I mean, what happens?
It seems that the next step is that the National Executive Committee of the ANC is going to meet, I believe, tomorrow, Wednesday, at about 6 p.m. And clearly the main item on the agenda of that meeting will be the future of Mr. Zuma and whether he will be recalled by the ANC, as they did way back to Thabo Mbeki, and simply told him, look, you're no longer the person of our choice to be deployed as President of the Republic. We are recalling you. In effect, that means he resigns his position of President and the ANC can then nominate a successor. And obviously that successor, one expects, would be Mr. Ramaphosa.
And do you think the winds of change are blowing in Parliament and in the country?
They are certainly blowing, definitely. It's difficult to tell how strong they are. And of course, Mr. Zuma can resist them. He has resisted up to now, and he's very astute and very clever politically.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the conference was in December, 16th of December. Here we are early in February, say, you know, 6-7 weeks later. Mr. Ramaphosa has had 6 or 7 weeks as president of the ANC, and he still has not been able to shift Mr. Zuma. So that shows you that even if the winds are blowing, Mr. Zuma is a very difficult person to blow over.
Now, Ramaphosa himself, as the president of the ANC, is he enjoying the support, really, that he needs, given we keep on hearing in the media about a divided top six, the SOB of the ANC? And the NEC and, of course, the NWC of the ANC, does he enjoy that support whereby he can be able to really push Zuma out of office?
I think that his support is growing. And I think that's one of the reasons why Ramaphosa has been fairly quiet in these weeks. He's been building that support quietly, not making a big fuss, not making waves, but steadily working to strengthen his position. And I think that is happening, but I do not know whether, as we speak today, he has sufficient backing on the NEC to force Zuma out. He may, he may have, and maybe we'll find that out tomorrow night. But I think it's still fairly close. Zuma still has some very strong supporters in the NEC.
Let's say then, for argument's sake, Zuma is recalled. What happens?
If he is recalled, then the ANC must nominate somebody to become president of the country. And that person then has to be voted for by Parliament, by the National Assembly. Other parties can also make their nominations. So in other words, there's a vacancy for the position of president of the country. And there would be a certain deadline, I don't know what it is, you know, a week or 10 days or whatever, where the parties have to enter their nominations and then the National Assembly votes. And the ANC still has a clear majority in the National Assembly. So basically, whoever they vote for will become our next president.
So there's no, there are no festivities in Cape Town of SONA, given its postponement. Now,
that's correct. I mean, right now, if you look at Parliament, all the preparations were busy today. The marquees and the tents are going up, and all the facilities for the guests and the dignitaries. The hotels are, you know, receiving the diplomats who are coming to visit. The journalists are all arriving in town, and now suddenly they're told, hang on, it's not happening. So a huge waste of money. A huge disruption to many people. And, you know, if you are an overseas diplomat, for example, or an observer, a journalist from an international television station, you must think to yourself, wow, you know, can these people not even organize the opening of their own parliament? It's a sad thing.
It's a bad reflection. It's a bad reflection on our country. And given the uncertainty that also exists in the minds of a great number of people, is it not possible that the ANC, including, well, they've never listened to Voice of Reason. They've always listened to what the ANC more or less thinks should be happening about the country and about Jacob Zuma. Will this make any difference post-tomorrow?
It's hard to say. I'd like to think that there are more you know, balanced and thoughtful people now at the top of the ANC, that at the top six is you know, more mature, for example, than they were previously, that the NEC has also changed its composition a little bit, and that there are more people there that think about the long-term good of the country rather than just what's in the interest of the ANC. But I think we would be, you know, naive if we thought that was automatically going to happen. I have some faith, a lot of faith. I think that Mr. Ramaphosa will pull us back on track to a large extent, but there are still too many people with inside and outside of Parliament and inside outside the ANC whose interests, whose personal interests, are against the agenda of Mr. Ramaphosa.
And with the State of Capture Commission coming, what's going to happen to Jacob Zuma?
We don't know. I mean, the first problem for Mr. Zuma is the 783 corruption charges that go back to the 1990s. Those charges, as you know, are going to be reinstated. We don't know exactly when. He was given until the end of January to make his representations on those charges. He has done that. So now we expect the National Prosecuting Authority to make a decision within probably a few weeks from now. And that decision could be to say, well, Mr. Zuma, we expect you to appear in court on a certain date to stand trial. The state of capture report will throw up, probably the inquiry will throw up yet more possible criminal activities or fraudulent activities on Mr. Zuma's part. But the inquiry obviously has not started yet. It may even take months to get going. And it's difficult to predict how long it'll take. It could take a couple of years, such an inquiry.
And now, with this in place and hanging on Jacob, Mr. President, on the Jacob President Zuma's head, what is the likelihood that if he refuses to be recalled by the ANC and then the ANC says we are going to impeach you or a vote of no confidence, what impact will it have on Jacob Zuma himself and on the ANC?
Impeachment is a big problem for him, because if he is impeached by Parliament, then he loses his pension, he loses his various perks, his security, all of those things that normally belong to a retired head of state. He becomes just an ordinary citizen with very little income. And we know that Mr. Zuma has always had financial problems. He got himself into all these difficulties
because
of his financial needs. So impeachment is a big danger for him in that sense. If he simply is recalled by the ANC and he retires as president of the country, then he retains his state pension and all of those other things. So he has to avoid impeachment as much as he can. But the trouble is he either believes that he will win a vote of impeachment, in other words, that not enough members of parliament will vote against him, or he perhaps doesn't understand how serious that could be for him.
And the leader of the EFF is saying that, and then apparently there is announced that in the next couple of hours, Jacob Zuma will be announcing his resignation. Where does he get all his information from?
The leader of the EFF,
and he's never wrong sometimes, you know.
He obviously, you know, keeps directly in touch with some very senior ANC people, and he has often been proved very accurate in his predictions. I mean, yesterday he predicted that Sono would not take place this week, and he has been proved right on that as well. So I don't know. I think it's quite possible that Mr. Zuma will resign before the NEC meeting tomorrow. But who knows? Up to now he's been fighting. Up to now he's been resisting. But at a certain point, he must realize that his time is up.
His time is up. Let's hope he realizes that. Thank you, Mike Pathy, and all of the best. And I wish you a wonderful time there in Cape Town. Keep 50 liters of water safe. You will definitely need it. We're praying for rain
Please
for
do.
The Western Cape.
Send us some rain.
We will definitely send you buckets and buckets of rain. Thank you
so
much.
Thank you.